about how the work is going to be done and what it's going to look and feel like and what the billing is going to feel like, so that there are very limited and hopefully no surprises. All the way along, and I think Christy alluded to this, there has been a deep desire to maximize competition. Electronic tolling, as I said, is a small community, and you meet the same people over and over again, in a very good way, oftentimes. But when it comes time to procure the major tool that you're going to use to collect almost $1 billion of revenue every year, you want to create the best competition possible. So the first thing we did was we worked to do an RFP process that has a designation of professional and artistic, which means that in an RFP process, in an RFP process that is not professional and artistic, the price becomes part of the score. In a professional and artistic competition, you are selected primarily on your technical score, and the price simply informs the negotiations. The second item is just clear valuation criteria. The RFP was very dense and laid out exactly what the tollway is looking for and described how we would be evaluating it. The third one is equivalence of tolling and non-tolling experience. One thing we did learn in those RFI presentations that we hadn't really known beforehand was that there are providers of software out there that are not long-term tolling providers, that have excellent products to offer, and we needed to make sure that they were included in a competition, because again, we wanted a competition. The next one is accommodated all hardware and software system platforms. We did not specify in the RFP specific hardware platforms that had to be used. The next one is accommodating different code ownership frameworks within the tolling industry and outside the tolling industry. There are different approaches to owning codes and licensing, so we wanted to make sure that the RFP contemplated both. And then finally, we did have a number of hardware items as part of the procurement, but we indicated in there that we would keep the option to buy them off CMS contracts, master contracts, if it were deemed a better decision at the time. So we come to you today with a recommendation for an award that we strongly believed is based on the best value. It is the software that we bring to you today is through Accenture. It is SAP. Accenture and SAP have worked together for 30 years, and Accenture sells the SAP product. SAP is a major piece of business software that is used throughout the world by major customer service organizations, including things like T-Mobile, American Airlines, DirecTV. And when it comes from a very, just speaking technically for a moment, what a back office system in the tolling world really is a customer relationship management, CRM system, and then kind of a revenue management system. And that has been the bread and butter of the SAP world for decades. So we are bringing to you what we believe is a software widely acknowledged to be among the best in class in the world. It is software that includes a full array of the modules that we were seeking. It is we have spent a lot of time going through the prices and working through all the analysis from every which way, and we strongly believe that the price provided us is fair and reasonable. We know it can be accommodated by our budget. We are bringing to you something that has a number of more on-site resources for implementation and a greater number of maintenance resources post-implementation for support. Again, all of this is aimed so that we put into place a system that is flexible, that allows us to be as transparent as possible, that allows us to make data-driven decisions as we move forward with all sorts of innovations and evolutions over the coming years. And it is not a decision we have remotely taken lightly. I hope that at least comes across.
To address the question I heard earlier today, basically as far as Accenture not having the experience in North America or here, I think I heard that Accenture had experience in Portugal with a couple of tollways there, so out of the country. and Xerox is in, I think it's Texas, New Jersey, and New York.
Xerox has a number of implementations, including Texas, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, tolling.
So they have experience in North America. How does it differentiate? I mean, if they're saying they've got the experience here versus Accenture, and I guess I won't talk about SAP. SAP, the third party, they have the rights to the software. Accenture has the rights to use SAP software.
They resell it.
They resell it, so they have the third party. And then Xerox, their software is, what's their software? What are they using? In-house? Off the shelf?
Xerox purchased a company called ACS a couple of years back, and that is a traditional tolling software. And I do think one of the differentiators that you can look for in software, because I again spoke to the customer relationship management and revenue management core of the software that any software has to provide from a functional perspective. One of the things you can really look at in electronic tolling, especially in our world, because we're one of the largest open road tolling organizations in the world, is how many open road violations does a particular system or vendor have experience handling on an annual basis. We have 52 million a year. That is huge. It doesn't even really compare to almost any other tollway out there. And when we were looking through all the results of the very good proposals that came back to us, that was very indicative, because the violation piece is the hardest piece. Most systems can do a decent job at tracking revenue. Most systems can do a decent job at handling an IPass membership database. But it really gets complex in the tolling world when you're managing violations, and it gets very complex when you're managing them in an open road tolling environment. If any software out there had violations functionality, but it was mostly in a gated system, it's just it's kind of a different deal. It's a different set of experiences and a different, probably a different level of flexibility.
So based on the even greater comfort level than Accenture and SAP based on that?
They had, among the competitors, the highest number of open road tolling violations processed in a year.
Is that in Portugal?
Yeah.
So we're taking their experience in Portugal.
We're taking the SAP experience worldwide. SAP is a world-class software used by almost every major business at our revenue level or above.
But the largest example of a toll road implementation,
kind of toll
obviously
road, yes.
They're generally that's the software that's been used in other industries, but in a toll road implementation is Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Right, in an open road system.
That is true.
Okay.
And the ones in the United States are gated systems. The ones that are
many of the referenced tollways in other proposals talked a lot about systems that were mostly gated, or that had far fewer open road tolling transactions than we do.
The existing vendor that we have, they didn't submit a proposal on this. Is that correct?
They did not.
They did not. And a couple things. One, their system basically doesn't have enough flexibility. Their software's kind of antiquated now, it sounds like, and so they weren't able to adapt and expand with this ORT, open road tolling.
Well, they brought us live on open road tolling, and we've actually had, in many ways, a good working relationship with them for a number of years. But we, as we laid out in the RFP, we're looking for something that is so flexible and so robust that that I don't think it necessarily speaks to everyone's core functionality. Not everybody wanted to respond. There were some other firms that didn't respond to.
Will this vendor then stay in a transition mode for a year? Is it a year, 2 years? Or is it clear on?
We have two more renewal years left with ETC, and we anticipate activating both of those renewal years because we want the transition to be smooth.
And there's it's likely that when you talk about the lane hardware, correct? You know, that's a whole other animal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be someplace that, you know, another vendor, maybe an ETC, continues in that role, correct?
Yes.
For another, but it's a separate from the back office.
Correct.
Director Banks, did you have other comments? Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
the diversity program, I know, can you go in more detail about the diversity? I think they were were they the highest as far as their involvement of minority contractors or vendors? 4.5%?
They did not provide the highest number.
Accenture did not.
No.
Okay.
But I might have to defer to some of the folks around the table that
Accenture's at 4.5%
on these diversity calculations.
4.5%?
They proposed a 4.5% commitment.
As you run both systems over the 2-year period, if expectations of the system are not where we believe they should be, what sort of remedies do we have, if any?
You always have the opportunity to call in parts of the contract that are designed to say, this isn't working, we need to stop, we need you to provide us a different direction, we need to cut ties, we need to get our money back. But usually, in large implementations like this, if you lay out the fundamentals that we've tried very hard to do over the last year and a half, you generally can move forward without major sticking points like that.
But I think it's a point that, you know, as we move forward, and obviously there's not necessarily a contract in place yet, there's a business step in the process, board approval, that's something that we'll take very seriously to make sure that we have the right provisions in the contract to hold everybody accountable, because it's something that I think there was some struggle with in the implementation of the last system, I think it's fair to say. So it's a good point.
It's always difficult no matter what you do.
Yeah. Because there'll be a lot of time and effort invested in an implementation. So
it might be helpful, if you'll pardon the pun, to think about where the off-ramps are. So where in this contract do we have certain benchmarks that we want to have met, and if we haven't met them, we've probably already done this, how do we get off of this, call a halt, figure out how we recalibrate with them and just try to keep track of those.
Recalibrate
or move
to a different relationship.
But even our sample contract contemplates key performance indicators and service level agreement type things that we would have to track monthly.
Does this have to be a 6-year contract? Does it have to be, you're requesting a 6-year contract?
The idea behind that was that it takes about 2 years to fully complete an implementation, and we at least wanted to contemplate 2 years of an implementation and then have at least 4 years of maintenance beyond that.
But any of our contracts have the provision that you can cancel them out.
Correct.
Yeah. Director
Mitchell? Yeah, there are a couple of things that, you know, to kind of go back into what Shauna talked about. When this first came before this board is through the committee, we were really based on the decision-making process as we went forward was we were talking about providing cutting-edge customer service to our customers. And in doing so, we really kind of tore this thing apart and began looking at it from the ground up and taking a look at where we're going to have the opportunities to be able to build our system and continue to operate through this time period so that we can remain on the cutting edge. Because one of the things, and this was voiced earlier, one of the issues that we've kind of felt is that we've been a little hamstrung based on some of the confines of our current system. Shauna talked about the fact that we went through a very significant RFI process, bringing in the best of the best that's out there to take the input for what the options and opportunities are, not only out there now, but where we think the industry may be going so that we can take advantage of that. I understand, and I've expressed some of the concerns too about, you know, the experience with this vendor, whether we're taking a look at this simply based on other systems in the United States versus worldwide. The fact of the matter is, this organization has been a leader in open road tolling. A leader to the point where if we take a look at our closest rivals, competitors in that, is we're taking a look at that outside of the United States. The proposal that's brought forth today, I think, provides us as an organization the opportunity to maintain that leadership, not just today, but going forward. And the decision that's before us is, it is a difficult one, but the commitment to this board has been to be progressive in those policies, to take advantage, to provide the best service, and be able to maximize transportation opportunities for our customers. Having gone through this with staff, we gave them the directive for things we were looking at through this RFP and RFI proposal process. In sitting down and going through it with them and relying on their expertise and questioning them, I feel that this is the right proposal for us and provide us with the best long-term success going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just comment that I think the process was well done in the sense that doing the RFI up front, I think, was a very intelligent approach to make sure that after all these years that the tollway is educated on what's out there, what's possible. I think that was a very intelligent approach. I think the RFP on the professional level, where you looked at what was offered, not just simply the price element, was also an intelligent approach. I'd ask you, when you took the RFPs, there was a price attached and looked at initially. It wasn't a secondary consideration that after you looked at things technically, you opened up the price offering, or was that part and parcel?
We opened up the price, we did technical scoring,
uh-huh,
and then put all of that into the correct matrices, and then we opened up the pricing,
right,
and used it to inform negotiations.
Okay, very good. And so my question would be, if you looked at it solely based on pricing, where is the lead candidate here? Where did they come in?
After the best and final offer process,
mm-hmm,
it was the, you know what, I might want to ask somebody to double check this for me. After best and final offer, it was the third of five. It would be number three in terms of expense. There were two that were less expensive,
mm-hmm,
but in terms of best and final, only two vendors went through that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think what I would comment that judging at what we're trying to accomplish here, that it is that the overall technical capability, etc., that is the most critical issue here. And again, you know, I applaud the RFI process, but also the way with the RFPs, and I think that was a good approach.
You said we have money in the budget for this, and also to cover the transition of the other existing vendor?
Yeah.
2 years, okay.
So every October, Mr. Kelch makes all of us put together very careful estimates for each of our projects. And those estimates are gone through over and over again, and they often get returned to us if they're not very good. So, yes, as part of our budget exercise last October, we did put together a very careful budget that predicted this and predicted the overlap.
Yeah, and I think the final comment I would make is when you're dealing with something that's primarily customer service, accomplishing a high level of customer service isn't always done cheaply. It's not a bid item. It's a mission and a goal. And I think that has to take primary place in terms of this decision.
Do you think it's a fair balance of the right technical ability and competitive pricing? You're right. If not the cheapest, competitive pricing. And, you know, if there are more questions, I certainly want to discuss them thoroughly, of course. But I will say, commend Shauna and everybody in this process. It was a long process. We knew that it would be. We had planned it to be, frankly, because this will not be an easy effort. There are many steps even of the procurement process ahead of us to get to a contract. And then, you know, once we do start to implement a system, that will also be a long process because we are such a large organization and we want to be very careful and thoughtful in how we transition so that hopefully we don't experience some of the same, you know, issues that Illinois Tollway experienced with its implementation of its back office system when open road tolling started. It was, you know, those were maybe necessary pains, growing pains to go through, but we'd like to not go through them a second time.
Okay, so there are three directors who haven't said anything on this. I'm happy to hear any comments, but if you have none, we should move on.
I trust the process. You did a great job.
Good.
Evaluating this.
Thank you. And thank you, Sean, you get to work with them, so ultimately the professional judgment that you exercise about their professional capacity is really important. So we appreciate the effort and time and judgment that you put into this.
Well, thank you to everybody. And I think with that, it brings us to the board summary item, which is a recommendation to award a contract in the length of 6 years and the amount of $44 million to Accenture LLP.
May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just the beginning. Okay. So now we'll turn to engineering. Paul, do you want to do any overview on this?
I think that the first 21 items we placed on the consent agenda, and unless there are any questions, we can move forward with those. And I could say I wanted to introduce 22 and 23, but I know we're going to also review those in executive session before taking action on them.
Well, maybe just do a little comment on them so that there's an understanding generally about why we're in executive session on those and any important issues. We can take 1 through 21. There are some recusals on the way through, so we'll take some, we have to take some of these one at a time. And Director Peterson, is there anything you wanted to comment on any of these on the committee?
No. I have some questions. we discussed these at the FAO meeting, and I know Director Peterson this morning you gave us some percentage of the DBEs. And I apologize, related to this agenda only, those percentages?
Yeah, to this letting, was the 61% of the professional service contracts were DBE.
And there were 61%, are we saying 61% of the dollar?
The dollar amount.
It was dollars, and Director, that was on PSB 13-1 selections. So there were 23 items on that bulletin. Some of the awards that we were recommending today came off that bulletin, but not all.
It looks like we have about 20 contracts here that are about $180 million.
Right.
And you're telling me that 60% of those contracts are going to my MDE?
No, it's only relative to the 23 items that we had on that bulletin for professional services.
Oh, it's so not regarding the agenda item.
Correct. Right.
So we put out the bulletins and then marches on, and some of them get onto this agenda, and some of them have been on others, and some will be on future ones.
Yeah, and it's been our practice that when we start to bring the first awards, recommended awards off that bulletin, we give you an overview of a snapshot of what that bulletin, the key statistics. And we're going to have that same type of report for 13-2 bulletin, which is, we'll probably be bringing items next month and the following month.
We just thought it was maybe more helpful information to do it that way, since these can trickle out over multiple meetings, and just by luck of the draw, you may have different ones on different agendas, but that gives you a snapshot of what an actual selection looks like. So if you want to have that report any different way, we're happy to accommodate that.
And you also mentioned the prime contractors. Again, what was that in relation to?
We have those numbers.
Because there are three primes here on this agenda.
How many were minority?
The 20.
There were four DBE primes.
Yeah. And on this agenda,
I have three of this one. This agenda. So out of the 180 million, the three primes. One's getting 87,000. The other one's getting 300,000. And the fourth one is item 14 getting 6 million. So we're talking about 6.5 million of prime out of $180 million of contracts today.
Today, that.
About 3-4% of the 180 million
for this
of this agenda item.
Yeah, of this agenda item.
And my last question is on items 12 and 13 with the two waivers that you're requesting the board today. Just for my understanding, is it Gustavo that you set the DBE goal on 12 and 13?
The goals were set by my department.
And you're also asking for those waiver requests. You're also recommending the two waivers.
Yeah, I'm granting those two waivers.
Thank you.
I know at the committee level you don't need to abstain in the future, so you'll just vote straight up on those, so we can just run through. Yes.
I just like in the future, if we're going to give DBE information out in percents, especially when it comes to DBEs, let's bring up the detail as well in terms of what's the DBE percentage and based on African American community, African American businesses, Hispanic businesses, female Caucasian, and let's tie the dollars to those, because sometimes those percents seem like we're right on track, but let's start breaking it down in detail if we're going to be 20% out.
So we get the, is it a quarterly report? When is that next done, the pretty color?
Next month.
Next month.
Okay, so let's make sure that when we put that out, that we take some time at the board meeting just to run through those numbers so we can see the drive. It is confusing to do them by the solicitations we put out and then when they come up at the board. Will that work, Director? Okay, good. So let's go through engineering then. The first one, Director Darcy recuses himself, so we'll need a motion separately on that.
So moved.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? And we have the one recusal. We have a recusal on three, so we'll take two separately. May I hear a motion on that?
So moved.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions or recusals. Number three, Director DRC recuses himself again on that. So may I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, any abstentions? We have the one recusal. We'll do four because they're recusing on five and six. So may I hear a motion on four?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Recusals, no. Number five, Director Darcy recuses himself. So may I hear a motion on five?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? We have the one recusal. Number six, Director Towns is a recusal. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? We have the one recusal. Seven we have to take alone as well. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? We have any recusals that we don't know about? Okay, number eight, Director Towns recuses himself. May I have a motion?
Approved.
Second?
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? We have a recusal from Director Towns. I believe we can take 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 together, or do you want some of these separated?
12 and 13. Separate.
Okay, we'll take out 12 and 13. So let's hear 9 through 11. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions or recusals we don't know about? Let's take 12 separately. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Any recusals or abstentions? 13, may I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Any recusals or abstentions? We can take 14 and 15 together. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals or abstentions? 16, Director Peterson recusal. Let's take a motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Director Peterson recuses himself. Can we take 17 through 21?
So
David, is there anything?
You can go to 21.
Okay, we'll take 22 and 22. So we'll do those. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
All in, a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? I think are we going to talk about 22 and 23 separately in executive
session? That's our protocol, yes.
So we'll come back into open session to take action on those. So shall we move to legal? Is there anything?
Sure can. We've had three items that were placed on the consent that Chair Peterson talked about from finance. We have one item that was not ready for the FAO but is today, and it's an IGA between the tollway and Illinois Central Management Services, CMS. Joe Kambich, our IT chief is really the closest to it, so I'll probably let Joe take the floor on that to introduce the board to the topic.
Thank you.
So this is a procurement related to the purchase of a phone system for the new call center at UIC. This is a critical system, probably as far as the infrastructure goes, is important as computer systems. It provides not only the phone services, but call recording, interactive voice response system, so with the numbers you can go to different services, workforce management. It's completely redundant hardware. We're using this contract through CMS that they've used in the past to establish call center type facilities. So, if there's any questions.
Any questions?
It's not only the hardware and the software, but also the professional services related to installation, training, and support, ongoing support. Type of system like this requires several months to actually install, configure, bring it up, and test. So this procurement will fit within our time frames to get the call center up in the November time frame.
And just in terms of managing the contract, does CMS do that? Do we do that? How does that work?
They manage the
CMS. Contract.
So they basically make the purchase for us.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay. And the duration of this one?
What's that?
The duration of this one, how long is it?
Basically, we purchase the hardware, and then we as part of this, we get 3 years of support, which is pretty much standard for any. This is really networking equipment that we're buying, so. It's provided by Cisco, so this is kind of a standard Cisco type product.
Okay. Any other questions on this one? Well, then, may we take 1 through 4? And then the litigation, we're going to do an executive session and come back.
Thank you.
Okay. May I hear a motion 1 through 4?
Motion.
All those in the second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, we have a number of things that we'll come back into executive session to discuss. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? Okay, then I think what we need is a motion to go into executive session. How long would you like to go for?
I don't know if we have like to accommodate questions, so probably 15 minutes somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, so we'll reconvene around 11:25.
Right. So staff would recommend that the board consider a motion to proceed to executive session pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, specifically sections 2C11 and 2C5, to discuss litigation and the acquisition of real property.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. We'll see you at about 25 after. Thank you.